Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Football Tips. I'm Adam Wilbourn from What Culture Football, joined by Adam Cleary and Andy Murray from What Culture Football to give you all the tips that you need ahead of Game Week 6. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Football on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from for daily football podcast. As I said, though, I'm joined by Adam Cleary and Andy Murray, especially this week because I scored a grand total of 30 points in fantasy football last week.
The high scorer at this table with 41.
Yeah.
That's why are we allowed to do this podcast?
The thing is, right, I really do, despite what occasionally you get in the comments, I do rate myself, you know. Whatever I'm on, I think I can bring something to that in whatever capacity. Legitimately, I'm sat here, I feel like fraud. I have not had what I would regard as one really successful game. I've had a few good ones, but I've had nothing that I'm like, yeah. I got like 81 points that week, but in the week where everyone got like between 70 and 90. I am always a big advocate of never hit the panic button in FPL because you literally never know what's happening next week. And people are like, oh, he's rubbish, he's got to go for my team now. I'm panicking big time.
The question I was going to start us off with, rather than sort of getting into who needs to come in and who needs to leave your team this week, is it time for wholesale changes? Is it time, Andy Murray, to use the wild card?
Well, the answer to that question is objectively yes, because I am the best fantasy football player in the office ever, and I have used my wild card this week. The simple answer to that is that 6 weeks in, absolutely you should consider using your wild card because you get a second one in January, and when you pick your first team at the start of the season, it's always
blind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally blind. Even players who did well last season, there's no guarantee they're going to replicate that this year. Give it a good month, let it fall into place. You can't sit around on your ass and just wait for Ryan Fraser to start banging in assists and scoring goals. He got one this week.
Or in my case, wait until he transferred him out of your team after 3 weeks and then he starts getting assists. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't afford to sit around. You can't settle for mediocrity. You've got to go for it. That's what I've done this week, but we'll discuss that in a little bit. And you get a new one in January.
Are you tempted to use your wild card as
Literally,
well?
Literally, the top word I've written on my notes here is wild card. I haven't paid for any changes this season. I've only made one transfer at a time. I had a very confident outlook at the start of the season. I wanted to front load with Everton and Bournemouth because I had really good opening fixtures. Gradually, week by week, I lost a Bournemouth player, lost an Everton player, and every time I've got rid of them, I persisted with Ryan Fraser for 4 weeks, transferred him out, finally registered an assist, finally got some returns.
Calvert-Lewin.
Persisted with Calvert-Lewin for 5 weeks, finally transferred him out, and he scored a goal. Have been sitting here going, don't get on that Pookie bandwagon. Legitimately, Norwich, it's exciting for them at the start of the season, but there are some tough fixtures coming up, and people are going to figure them out quite quickly. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And went and beat Manchester City, and he got a load more points. I have no idea what I'm talking about, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
none.
I enjoyed Man City losing to Norwich purely from a neutral's perspective. Yeah. It's enjoyable. It makes the title race more interesting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then I remembered, three out of my 11 players are from Man City, as well as my captain. It could be worse. My friend Josh was like, Man City Norwich? Triple captain time for Raheem Sterling.
You moron.
I will say, the big takeaway from that, we'll probably talk about Pookie and lol at me. I still won't put the lad in my team, even though he's probably going to end up scoring about 25 goals this year. I will, until I am blue in the face, probably all season go, no point, bubble will burst, and you'll end up with some kind of record point haul. However, the big takeaway from that is without Laporte, if you have City players in purely to try and accrue clean sheet points, I would have bought that quite quickly. they look. Someone brought the stat up of like how often, how well they defend based on who their back, their two centre backs are, and it's like Stones, Laporte, Otamendi, Stone, like all the different combinations. All of those combinations that don't have Laporte in are terrifyingly bad if you're a Man City fan. Like almost to the point where you've got to look at like, I don't get how they'll grind out like tight games anymore because they're gonna probably concede loads more goals. Like,
a home against Watford this week, which has led quite a few people to say, "Oh, you need to chuck in Aguero or Jesus or De Bruyne or whatever." Put into one side the fact that Watford are a different team, a different team with a new manager, new old manager, I should say. Is there also a danger, not only with Man City, I should say, that we see some squad rotation post Champions League?
Oh, Pep does this all the time, regardless of whether there's Champions League or not, doesn't he? That's why there's always an element of risk with Man City players, apart from, you know, he's going to have a week where he's going to throw KDB on the bench randomly. Well, not randomly. It's all tactical, obviously. Mm. He's going to throw KDB on the bench, and then Mahrez is going to come in, and then Tony Bones at the back, and Frankie Bastard or whatever comes in comes in on the wing. Yeah, he'll do it all the time. That's always the risk with City players, but these guys still consistently finish, you know, as like the top five players in the position, regardless.
That's the thing about City. If you try and be too clever, and you try and work out Pep's rotation, and you try and bring City players in to match that or to go away from it, you end up completely messing it up because nobody can predict when he's going to do that. I will say, if you do want to have City players at the back, they're probably going to be more guaranteed to play now because without Laporte, they're only guaranteed starters out there. So you probably need to like factor that in. But it's just, I just don't know. Like, I don't think Liverpool are particularly assured at the back this year. So I don't even know where you go for guaranteed clean sheet points this season.
Is it time to sort of focus more on maybe attacking players than defensive players? Because I've spent a fair bit on my defence, but my back line, including my goalkeeper, scored a grand total of 7 points between five players.
Five between four.
I had a bit more luck than you guys defensively this week. Well, not really that much. Alderweireld got 10 and Robertson finally got his first assist of the season. But yeah, I mean, that's certainly what I've done. Well, you'll see when we get around to this week's team.
Yeah, I've persisted with 4-4-2 so far. And last week I thought I'm not going to make any transfers. I'm going to just leave the team as it is because it's kind of unpredictable. And then post-Champions League, two transfers, maybe even three. Just sacrifice a few points here. Can make some wholesale changes. Yeah, chances are I'm going to be hovering over that wild card button just the same. Yeah, looking ahead to this game week then, like you said, you've already hit the wild card button. Because what I have sometimes is I hit the wild card button and then I realise I've only really got to make three or four changes.
Yeah, I've made eight. So I've only made one defensive swap. I'll run through what I've done here. I've got rid of Jordan Pickford because he wasn't doing bad word. Replaced him with Patricio. Defensive change, Alderweireld is out, even though he got 10 last week. Idiot boy. Soyuncu, Leicester, nice cheap option. It's midfield and attack. I've gone for a really stupid thing up front and gone for cheaper forwards who are currently in form. Mm-hmm. Now, these players are going to drift in and out of form throughout the season, but I've got a couple of sellable assets, so when that happens, I can kind of upgrade them a bit. Up front, I've totally binned Harry Kane and whatever loser I had before, Jimenez, not really doing the business. Brought in Abraham, Haller, and Pukki. Fashionable players, all three of them. Lots of people will have them. Lots of people will have them as their cheaper striker option alongside Aguero or Kane, but I just kind of want to go all out on strikers because defenders aren't doing a single thing.
When you were doing this team then, were the first two players you put in Salah and De Bruyne and then worked from there, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. I got rid of Sterling. There's no real logic behind that. I just kind
it's
of
it's either
fancy.
Or, isn't it? If you can have both, and if you've got a midfield of Sterling, De Bruyne, and Salah, you've got no money left.
Well, the thing is, Mo Salah gets all those extra points for all the dives he does as well. So it's like it's an instant win.
Wait. Yeah, I can just hear you and Ewan's head exploding in the office.
I brought in KDB as well because he's cheaper and he guarantees numbers, basically. I've done a total knee-jerky thing here as well and gone for this Southampton player who I hadn't heard of until the start of the season. Gineppo, is that how you pronounce it?
He's getting a lot of rave reviews from Southampton fans without necessarily converting that to massive amounts of points yet, but they all seem very, very hot on him.
No, to be fair, he's scored two goals in something like two starts. Mm. That's solid for a midfielder. 5.4 million, I think, as well. Mm. Bargain.
You stick him with Cantwell.
Yeah, he's great. He's class. He's one of the top points per player
must be this season.
He's like 4.7 at the moment, and he's really good. Yeah, so he's actually the only midfielder that survived my changes.
Yeah, Cantwell's been one that people have kept an eye on. Buendia, he's got 4 assists now for Norwich, so it could be another potential option. Adam Cleary, who are you looking at this weekend?
Well, right, I will say, normally I come in here, I've made my one change, and I very smugly go, well, I've done this because this is this, and actually I'm going to be fine this weekend. But it turns out I'm actually not fine at all, and I'm having an absolute shocker. So I've not made any changes yet, but it will probably be the wild card. Now, I might wait until next week because I really want to go in on a couple of Chelsea players. I want to see how bad this Mason Mount situation is. I want to see whether Tammy Abraham, you know, does it against a bigger side this week instead of just, you know, crushing the smaller elite teams in the league. I might just wait. But then you wait a game week, half the pace do you get? I want Lanzini out. I think if West Ham they've got a good run of games coming up after this week, but it's not overly great. McGinn, I do like him as a cheap option, but realistically, I probably need a stronger player who's going to start. Like, he should be my Hayden in this side. He shouldn't be someone who I'm playing every week. Callum Wilson's the only one who's keeping me afloat, really. I think Kane's been in and out of... He's played well in some games and really bad in others. Ashley Barnes is the only one I'm determined to stick with, even though I paid money for him last week and he did nothing.
Well, Barnes is one I would tip for going forward. He's only plays one of the big six in his next nine games.
Yeah, one of the all-time great bastards of English football as well. So.
I would say Callum Wilson, I must thank, is he's the only player really keeping me afloat at the minute. I think he's delivered every single game with bar one. Mm. He's been an astute pickup. Mm.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quick heads up as well. Don't forget that there is a Friday night game this week. So if you're going to make
changes, get your changes early.
Don't be sat there like me, half pissed on a Friday night in the pub going, oh, bollocks. What are the other big games this weekend? You sort of alluded to Chelsea-Liverpool with Tammy there.
It depends what you mean by big games. I mean, the big games are the big games, but the big games in terms of FPL, I think a lot of people have still got Man United players. Them going away to West Ham is going to be a big test. Watford bounce back against City, because they looked better against Newcastle. City are desperate for a response. So ideally, you'd like to see them absolutely crush Watford. But Watford don't look terrible at the minute. They've been on an improved run, so that'll be interesting for them. I think a lot of people still got a lot of Everton players from the start of the season. A lot of people went in on like the more creative types, the Sigurdsons, whatever, but they've not really scored goals, Everton, this season. But again, it is Sheffield United, and they'll be thinking if they can do it any week, they'd like to do it this week. So, I just don't know.
Which players are you taking out, just so I know who to bring in this week?
Who should I take out? Well, let's see. Right, of the ones I've got here, probably Jordan Pickford, Digne, Van Dijk, Zinchenko, McGinn, Lanzini, might leave De Bruyne in, purely because I got in on him on week one. So, the money I'd get back from him, you know what I mean? I don't think it's worth it. I got him for that cheap. Maybe Sterling. Callum Wilson can stay. I love Callum Wilson. Harry Kane's probably going to go. And Ashley Barnes can stay. And then Rico, Hayden and Kelly in the back line. They can swivel for all I care.
Yeah, it's an intriguing position. Because like you say, Man United travelling to West Ham. You know, the people have got the likes of Daniel James. They've got Marcus Rashford. Pogba, perhaps. And it's a very, very unpredictable game. A bit like... Arsenal hosting Aston Villa. There's a part of me that I wanted to bring in quite various Pepe, How are you doing it? Ceballos?
Onions.
Yeah.
Daniel.
I was contemplating bringing him in. Aubameyang is a player I have an affinity with through years of FIFA. I want to bring him in. But like you say, I've got Aguero up front. And the moment that you've got a sense that Man City, you know, they won midweek in the Champions League. They're looking to make a statement. They're playing before Liverpool do in a tough, you know, the day before Liverpool to really put that pressure back on them. But then again, if Watford go, hey, let's just play like Norwich did, who knows what's going to happen?
That's the thing,
who knows who's going to be playing?
I said this on the Champions League preview. I think the worrying thing for Man City fans, and again, this probably bleeds into more actual football than fantasy football, but it was the very obvious way Norwich plays. Like, it wasn't like the Man City were, you know, they hit the post three times or Norwich had a fortunate penalty or something like that. It was they clearly set out to play a very particular way, and because Norwich have the raw ingredients to do that well, they beat Man City. But even a side that can't pass the ball as well as Norwich can take, you know, they can learn a lesson from this and probably make life a lot harder for Man City, because they like that tactical foul if they don't get the ball back in the first minute. And Norwich just didn't let them foul them. Instead of like trying to go in for challenges or take people on, as soon as they got anywhere near a Man City player, they passed the ball away. So you physically can't foul any of their players. And it was just such an obvious way to destabilise their approach to the game that they did brilliantly off the back of it. And I can see pretty much everybody, Watford will try and do that this week. Of course they will, because it's effective against them. And if that, combined with the fact they're missing Laporte, might not be as tight at the back, they're going to have a harder time of it this season.
Watford clearly proved against Arsenal that they can raise their game against tougher opponents. Do you think that could happen this weekend, or do you see Man City returning to their old form?
No, Watford raised their game against Arsenal because Arsenal are Arsenal.
They arsenaled
themselves into infinity. Watford's whack factor can't be ignored. I think they're like a real shadow of the team they were. But the City thing, again, it's a really tricky game. Because Watford stink, and because City rotate all the time, it's really tough. I actually think the United-West Ham game is a bit more straightforward. Just avoid defenders in that game, because both of those teams will score. Neither of them seem to have a clue what they're doing at the back. Seems like an easy enough choice for me.
I might just avoid defenders full stop with this. Yeah. Like, anybody who's more than 4.5 million, I might just not bother with.
Well, that was my basis for the start of this season was, you know, I normally go gung-ho up front, 3-4-3 or whatever. And in previous seasons, I've had to sort of change that because I realised that if they don't score, that's kind of it for your forwards. Whereas with defenders, they might get an assist if you're lucky. Like, if they're Van Dijk, they score a goal and that means, you know, twice as much as a striker. So I've sort of backloaded my team and it hasn't paid off. Edison in net has conceded. Van Dijk has not done as much as I had hoped. So maybe it's time to change formation, like 3-4-3, like you're saying, go all out with strikers. That's what you've gone for.
That's exactly what I've done.
The Southampton Bournemouth game, as you pointed out, would lend itself to a Callum Wilson. I also want to mention the early kickoff on Saturday, Leicester versus Spurs. This is a game traditionally full of goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially that Spurs back line. Like, it's really tough to pick defenders out of even that. Like, Kyle Walker-Peters looked like a shoe-in. He was like 4.5. Stupid.
I swapped him out for Zinchenko at one point and swapped him straight back.
And I think he got hurt last week. Aurier came in and did a wonderful job points-wise, but he's probably not going to play, you know, consistently with any kind of regularity. Alderweireld got 10 points last week. We haven't done bugger all since then. It's just kind of like, what the hell do you do with these players?
Again, let's just all avoid defenders forever, really. I might keep Rico in because he costs absolutely nothing. Just, I don't know, find some plucky idiot who plays in the back four of one of the lower half and one of the bottom 10 sides, and then just, I don't know, hope they do something.
Yeah.
I've got Digne and Bernard, I do believe, in my team. They are, Everton are at home against Sheffield United. Could be this be the week that they turn it around?
Well, yes, of course it could. And probably because I'm going to finally bin off all my Everton players after being so confident on the start of the season. Undoubtedly, they're going to win 8-0 and Digne will get a hat-trick. Undoubtedly. But at the same time, you got to plan. This thing about FPL is you can't just think about this week. You've always got to think like next week, week after, week after, week after. And look, I think I probably accrued some points. I think I did an all right job of having this Everton-Bournemouth like double-pronged attack at the start of the season.
Alliance.
But I've got to know when to call it quits.
Yeah, is it now more of taking into account form as opposed to, you know, fixture? Well, maybe more fixture list now. But at the start of the season, you just looked on paper. You said, well, like you say, Everton and Bournemouth got reasonably easy first six games or whatever.
Yeah.
As a Newcastle fan, we're sort of bleeding into the Premier League preview, which we'll be doing tomorrow. Late game on Saturday. A lot of people have been picking Willems now after his phenomenal goal at the weekend. I mean, it's a rarity that he scores for Newcastle, but is this a game that Newcastle should be looking at to win, and should you be bringing in, you know, well, some, I mean, of their...
You say that, he scored on his first start for the club, so that's a pretty good return, in my opinion, but I would say he's probably not guaranteed to start all the time for the club. Matt Ritchie being fit will almost certainly have that position, or I think if they're playing a bit more conservative, they'll stick Dummett in the left wing back role. It was really brave and really bold of Steve Bruce to go, oh, you know what, Tony Liverpool, might as well have a crack at them. but the injuries they've got, I think Williams is maybe, he was maybe brought in because the actual attacking options at the forward end of the pitch were a bit light. Almiron had done a lot of travelling in midweek. Saint-Maximin was injured. Basically, I think he was there because they didn't really have anybody else who could offer too much of a threat up front. I would say don't get carried away with the back of one game. That goes for Williams as well as just anything about Newcastle in general.
I think Williams is the very definition, actually, of a knee-jerk signing this week, because he scored a goal, wonderful goal that it was. Newcastle backline doesn't look half as stable as it did under Rafa Benitez, which is no surprise because Steve Bruce is the manager now. you know, he's cheap, but he's not going to score wonder goals every week, and he's not going to start every week, as Adams.
Right, let's move away from
would,
the...
Would you say, if you do want to go anything in the Newcastle back line, just pick Fabian Schär?
Yeah, lob someone from 30 yards. Yeah, might get sent off. It's a real roll of the dice.
He's going to play, and if he plays, he might do something mad. Yeah. So there you go.
Let's move away from the What Culture Office League, I think the only teams I beat in our office league this week were the two banter teams, the Bastards 11 and the team picked by Osley, who's just picked players because he likes Formula One, who's
so
got the same names.
You got beat by Phil's team with the banter names.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I had Phil's banter teams in the head-to-head and I beat him by 3 points. Scraped through again. Phil Chambers picks his entire team full of players with, in his opinion,
Bong!
Funny names. So, me scrutinising over it, staying up long into the night to work out who was going to play. I beat him by 3 points.
Yeah.
Let's look at the...
They'll count though, don't they? They'll count.
Let's look at the fans league. Congratulations again to Sagar Sedhine and his team Shadow Recruit, still top of the league with 374 points in the What Culture Fans League. 59 points he scored this week. Quick shout out as well to Ant Price, who is gaining on him rapidly. He scored 100 points this week with his team Firewolves, which, granted, was mainly helped by the fact he triple-captained Son. So by about half-time on Saturday...
Yeah, brave.
Stroke of genius, that, like. Where'd that come from?
I don't understand these people. I'm always hesitant to use my triple-captain.
You've got to remember...
It never comes off.
Don't fall into this trap of, like, I mean, and no disrespect to the lad, thinking, like, oh, this is a genius move. There are enough FPL players, right, that every single week, every single player in FPL gets triple-captained. Every single player. Doesn't matter who. There was that week Fellaini came off the bench and scored like 2 goals in 5 minutes and someone had triple captained him despite the fact he hadn't played for Man United in about 6 months. Like, what a genius. Like, no, he just did it. Like, it was just a pure slice of banter. That, don't get me wrong, Son's not exactly...
Harsh on Ant Price, this,
no,
like...
No, Son's not a massively out there pick, you know what I mean? Like, he probably is a contender for that kind of thing, but don't be like, how do these geniuses do it? The more wild it looks, the more just like high banter it is.
I'm fascinated to see.
Well done, though.
I like you, Ant. He doesn't.
I'm intrigued to see who will ever triple captain the Bastards 11. That's what I'm looking for.
Phil Bardsley.
Final question then. Who's wearing the captain's armband for you this weekend?
KDB.
I don't know. I'll see who's in my team. Maybe De Bruyne. Maybe. I might go for Aubameyang, you know. I think every time I hear about him on Twitter, it's some stat like, did you know that since the turn of the millennium, only Sergio Aguero has had more looks at goals than Aubameyang?
Since the Vietnam War,
Aubameyang's actually leading for goals and assists.
Mo Salah has actually executed more dives than Harry Kane.
Right, let's wrap this thing up. Let us know your thoughts ahead of Game Week 6 in the comment section below. And don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Football for daily football podcasts too. You can also let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureFC, where you can follow all three of us. You can follow Adam Cleary at...
Adam Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y.
You can follow Andy Murray at...
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Harold Martin Bratback.
Nice!
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all, as I said, at WhatCultureFC. My thanks to Adam Cleary and to Andy Murray. Thank you for watching, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.